This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
John Dermer,
Jane Bolton,
and William.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now John, last week you were talking about your time on various farms and what you were doing there, but you've been heavily involved in farm forestry.
Yes.
So what in what way were you involved, and what was the sort of, is it a farm forestry movement? Or
farm forestry was formed by a gentleman called Neil Barr back in the 50s. He's from Helensville, way up north, and his specialty was eucalypts.
Yeah.
But gum trees.
Yeah.
Better be careful.
Yeah.
So Neil formed with a few friends. He formed an organisation which became the Farm Forestry Association.
Okay.
We had about 28 branches up and down the country, North Island, South Island, and it's basically growing trees on farms. Most of the branches would have field days quite regularly and go and look at someone else's plantings, criticise them, advise, whatever. And so the knowledge base is huge.
So
I got into it because I started, I read a book by a fellow called John Mortimer.
Yeah.
Trees for the New Zealand Countryside.
Okay.
And I was fascinated. I thought, yes, please. And I've been to one or two properties where some guys had been planting. So I started quite a big planting program.
Okay.
On Waipeka.
Would this be with natives or with exotics?
Okay. Anything.
Okay.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly exotics.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Okay. And for shelter, for timber, for soil retention?
Yes.
Okay.
All of them. Yeah.
And when they say forestry, there's the idea of forest is fairly dense planting. Is that?
No, you don't have to have them in big blocks. I had a small property. I didn't want to be fencing big blocks. But I fenced the rivers off. I had three rivers.
Okay.
And so they all got planted in radiata.
Yeah.
Radiata pine.
Okay.
Which I A-planted, most of it myself. Most of it, not all, but most of it. I pruned them, I thinned them.
Yeah.
Once again, most of it. Some I got ahead.
So it was for timber, the major...
Yeah, trying to produce as much clear wood as I could. So they were pruned up to, probably over 7 metres.
Yeah.
And thinned down to quite a low stocking rate. The plan was that you'd the rivers all ran north south, and our prevailing winds are westerly, or maybe easterly.
Yeah.
So we've got a shelter belt as well.
Yeah. Okay.
We've also got a lot of long grass along when you fence them off.
Yes. Yeah.
So you are protecting the creek from just phosphate, nitrogen, all those things that run into a creek bed.
This is all the riparian planting stuff that they're pushing for now, and this was before that became so.
Oh, I suppose I did this in the late 90s. It certainly wasn't the I'll put it this way, it was the only farmer I knew that was doing it.
You saw effects in terms of flood control, limited erosion and things like that. You saw the benefits.
That was part of the plan, was to try to stop particularly Little Haynes Creek.
Yeah.
Which ran through and into the Kiwitia stream just south of me. And it eroded badly.
Yeah, okay.
Cut the banks to pieces all the time. I'm always spending money fixing it up.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, now the trees will help. They'll help to hold that bank. And the long grass will also help.
Yeah. And it worked?
No.
Okay. So why not? What happened?
In a word, no, it didn't.
Great plan in theory,
yeah. So it just made them very much harder to get at when you had to fix them.
Okay.
You could still go on.
Were they the wrong trees then, do you think? Or I know willows were used a lot, but then I don't know.
Well, I'd done that already. I'd been through and planted willows.
And you gave up on that?
Well,
you don't get the crop from it?
No, you don't crop it. There's no money out of them, but I decided, for some whatever reason, decided radiata was the plant.
Okay.
And I mean, they grow well.
Yes.
Radiata are fantastic. They grow anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
they suck up a lot of the water.
Well, they're a Californian coastal species, and here they are growing from the bottom of the South Island to the top of the North Island. They'll grow anywhere.
Yeah, and much faster here than where they came from as well.
Yeah, well, you know, So I planted a lot of radiata up and down the creeks. Certainly had a blip in 2004 when the floods came through. So the Kiwatea Stream, all of those streams and creeks.
So there was much damage, you mean? It got trees down?
Huge. All the fences
flattened. Do you
think
it might have been worse if you hadn't had the trees?
Wouldn't have made any difference.
No.
It was sort of notable when you're standing watching a bank eroding.
Yeah, because these were big floods.
And seeing a fully grown, really harvestable radiata pine just fall into the river and gone. Just gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd be chasing it. Yeah,
so,
doing
so
109 km
now. Yeah. So is it going all over the fields as well? A lot of your farm was actually underwater.
Luckily the house was on a hill.
Yeah.
We had 3 weeks without power.
Yeah.
Where did the bridge go, John? Did the bridge?
It wiped out both. Bridges are made so that they stay, but the approaches wash out. And both of those went, and I was very lucky because there was a cottage on the property, and the guy was working for my neighbour just across the river.
Mm.
Well, he couldn't work for the neighbour because he couldn't get there.
Yeah.
So he worked for me.
Yeah.
So that was very lucky.
Was
and also too, and I've we had a very good government support to help us put that right. Very good.
Yeah.
Run by local people.
Okay.
And I noticed that when Gabriel came through the Hawke's Bay and the northern areas, the bureaucrats decided to do the support from Wellington.
Yeah.
Hopeless.
Yeah.
That was hopeless.
So what sort of support did you get?
Fencing. Money. Basically money.
Money at the labour, but you could get there was the labour around.
More money. We had a lot of cleaning up to do. Hell of a lot.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know now.
Yeah.
The property's a bit special. It's got the Cheltenham rifle range on it.
Okay.
And I remember when the height of the flood watching the rifle range club rooms, and they were catching the water.
Yeah.
They were facing upstream and the water obviously coming downstream.
Yeah.
I thought this place, it has to go. But it stayed there somehow.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can still see the mark on the door to where it was, and it's pretty high.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you use much stock in that as well?
Murphy's Law, all my ewes were on the range. No, we didn't.
Okay,
We didn't. They somehow, how the hell they did it, I don't know.
Yeah,
But some of them stood there with water halfway up their backs.
Yeah.
And they stood there nearly all day.
Yeah.
And then they somehow splashed out.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't lose any stock.
No.
But, you know, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. They could have been anywhere else, but...
Just
where they were.
Yeah. So what was your feeling when you saw that happening? Do you think, all your work's been washed away, or...?
Well, I'm not sure. Honestly, it's a while ago now, Stuart. Well, you know you've got a hell of a job to put it back together again.
Yeah.
You've got a hell of a job. Plus, I had... I'm sorry, I'm still talking acres.
Yeah.
But I had 50-odd acres on the other side of the river.
Yeah.
On the western side, cut off by the Kiwatea.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, I had bulls over there.
Yeah.
And of course, the water supply had been washed out, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So somehow we had to... And I remember going across there in the tractor with the doors wide open and... Not the water wasn't quite flowing through the cab, but just about, and just to try and put things together so at least you've got a trough full of water for them.
Okay.
It was a hell of a mess, but you know, put it together, it's away again.
Yeah. Well, it's probably part of farming. So many ups and downs in farming that you learn to take it in your stride. Or
you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like the cropping program. I still remember the price of barley suddenly jumped alarmingly one year.
Yeah.
And this highlights this one. And I remember we went to Whanganui for some reason or other, and I looked out the window. Thought, gosh, there's a lot of country sprayed off.
Yeah.
Ready, sprayed on, ready to be ploughed for.
Yeah.
For, I presume, barley. And the penny didn't drop. I planted more than I normally did.
Yeah.
We had the wettest season we've had for years. We got a terribly poor crop, and we had to dry it all.
Yeah.
So, and the price dropped before.
Yes.
Price went like a stone. There's far too much around all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I should have said, no, this is a bad year for barley. Go and do something else.
It's the thing, the economic thing. You make the decision on the previous period's price, and then
when you're looking at getting your paddocks ready, it's at sort of 320.
But
when you come to harvest it, it's about 260.
Yeah.
Plus, you've got to dry it.
That
didn't work too well.
Now, one thing we haven't talked about, because you went through all the reforms from the mid-80s and so on, which hit farming quite hard.
Because
you would have started off under the supplementary minimum prices and things.
Never had a go at those.
No, okay. So was it traumatic for you all?
Yes.
Yeah.
In a word, yes.
Yeah.
And the bank manager demanded a cash flow statement.
Yeah.
For the year, which I had to, that took four solid days to figure that one out. I think I found better than I've ever found before, mind you.
Because you have better information.
Well, I had a plan. I had a solid plan to work to.
Okay.
And that would help, I think.
And you've carried on with the things you learned from that. You keep doing it.
You've got to.
That's the new type of funds.
But, no money in the game.
Yeah.
I know roughly what we were making through that period, and barely enough. I think the kids were at school as well, at the boarding school, so we were coping.
But everybody's in the same boat.
Yeah,
we were in the same boat.
Yeah. I joined the march to Wellington.
Yeah,
went down to Wellington and
annoyed
the politicians.
You thought the government was being unfair on you with all that?
Well, this is Roger Douglas came in, wasn't it?
Yeah,
we gave him a pretty hard time, but it didn't make any difference. And funny enough, long term, he was absolutely 100% correct.
Yeah.
We couldn't go on the way Muldoon was running things.
I know.
So politics does come into
I could see the problem, but the difficulty is shifting from one regime to another, all the adjustment you have to make, because you had to learn a whole load of different things about the economics of farming, presumably, with those changes.
You can't do that on a farm. You've got a program. You've really got to follow it along. You can't chop and change too much.
On
a small farm, you can chop and change, but you can alter your policies quite quickly.
Okay.
On the bigger properties, they're just grazing, basic. Don't think it was worth a bit when I started.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't worth much when I finished.
Yeah. There was a lot of talk, though, about diversification. I was telling people, it's not that all farmers have to diversify. You just need a few to do something different. But a lot were trying different things, weren't they?
Well, my trees were part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You didn't go for the, what was it? There was the deer, the goats, the ostriches.
Looked at
the
all
ostriches,
of them. Looked
there
at all of them.
Yeah.
Looked closely and thought, no.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, let other people do it. Everyone dives into it.
And I suppose part of that was cost. I mean, that. Deer fence and property, pretty expensive. And I'm very, very pleased I didn't ever go at those.
You probably know far clearer than I. I got the impression a lot of people think, yes, we've got to go into goats. So they're spending a lot on the breeding stock. And once everyone had got as many goats as they were, they didn't need any more breeding stock. And there wasn't really a market for the goats afterwards. So the price just crashed right back.
Well, I tried goats.
Yeah. You've tried goats?
Yeah. Well, I had a brother farming in Wairoa.
Yeah.
So I took a trailer up there and came back with a couple of trailer loads of goats.
And
set them loose. They'll eat the Californian thistle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They didn't. Yeah. And they went through every fence. I thought it had good fences. They went through every fence. Didn't matter.
Bad news.
Yeah. Okay.
Bad news.
Oh, dynamite things.
Yeah.
In the end, I actually sold them, and I made a quite nice little profit out of my goats.
So you got out before the peak, so you could, well, or before the crash.
Yeah, well, one of my friends, I think he went and bought a $6,000 buck.
Yeah.
And his feeder was blown over.
Yeah.
There was only one goat underneath it, and you can imagine which one it was.
Oh, dear.
That was Sam Strawn. But, yeah, so that was, yeah, farm forestry. I finished up on the National Executive for a few years.
Yeah. So that, has that had a big impact? Have you got a large number of farmers bringing in forestry?
We thought we had about 1,900. The fact that the peak of it through the early 90s, when the price of radiata really spiked.
Okay.
I think we reckon we had 4,500 of them, 4,500.
So most of it was for the alternate crop, the alternate income source?
A lot of them are growing different. They've grown eucalypts.
Yeah.
Okay. Trees, basically, most of it's probably radiata. Some are growing totara, all sorts of properties, all up and down the country.
Yeah.
And okay. I was lucky because I got to be the Farm Forestry Judge.
Okay.
We had a Farm Forestry of the Year award system.
Yeah.
Which Husqvarna in those days were kindly sponsoring.
Yeah.
So they would give a chainsaw to the North Island Farm Forester and one to the South. And I got to be the judge, so I got into some wonderful properties.
Yeah.
I think
I
judged 9 the first year and did about 2,500 K.
Yeah.
All up and down the country.
Yeah. And you learnt a lot from it yourself? You learnt a lot that you could apply?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, you've gone to really top properties. Some of them. Not all of them, but yeah. Anyway, so I'm on.
So is this sort of dying out a bit now then? Or
no, it's still going.
It's still going.
Still going, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
John, when you were judging, what were you looking for in particular?
Oh, the whole list of things, just the quality of the workmanship. But basically it came down to whether that guy's done anything much for the organisation. That was the main driver. And some guys had better trees, but they did nothing for their local branch, because they've got all these branches up and down.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's down a long way from the 28 I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know how many now. They amalgamate and what have you. But, so did that for 3 years, I think. And
has that had much effect on the... I came from England. I know they got rid of a load of the old traditional hedgerows and things, but the idea of all sorts of shelter around for stock and so on, was farm forestry...
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
As I say, all my paddock suddenly became pretty well.
Yeah.
A lot of shelter, shade, you've got all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was good for the stock as well?
Oh, fantastic. I thought so.
Yeah. Were you able to... The trees were able to grow and get established enough?
Oh, it's pretty good
you
country.
You fenced them early on or something?
Yeah, all fenced off, but it's good country. Yeah, they grew well.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, as I say, I planted, pruned, thinned, and did all the silviculture on most of my trees and then harvested them.
Yeah.
We got a dry year in about 2018, and I managed to get them all off.
Yeah, because I suppose
all harvest and paid a big tax bill.
So if they're in gullies, it was fairly easy to harvest and get them out anyway.
Well, someone else did all of that.
Yeah, they do that.
They're easy country, easy harvest.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But anyway, I finished up as national president for 2 years of farm forestry.
Yeah.
Okay. Much to my surprise. I think I coped okay.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did that involve? Is it a figurehead?
Well, a lot of meetings in Wellington.
Yeah.
So we were involved in the forestry industry.
Yeah.
I also used to... See, forest owners also... Yeah. Now, there's forest owners, there's farm forestry. We're the small guys.
Yeah.
And they are the big corporate forests.
Yeah.
But I used to sit on their board. Now, okay. I didn't have a voting. I couldn't vote on it, but I sat there and listened to these guys, and I could stick my spoke in if I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it was good being part of that industry, the whole, you know, you're running the whole show.
So when you hear now of the amount of dairy farms and so on going over to forestry, do you see that as something good, or they've gone a bit too far? Is this the right way to use the land?
Well, I think it's doing a lot of harm to local communities.
Yeah, yeah.
Properties that used to employ people suddenly aren't.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly keen on New Zealand carbon farming.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of blocks out at out at Mount Currie.
Oh, that's an organisation, New Zealand.
It's an organisation, I think that, I'm not even sure where they're based, Auckland, I think. Okay. And they are just throwing the key away. I reckon any forestry on which are going to harvest, tend at silviculture and harvest is great.
Yeah.
Is great. I'm just not so keen on this. Plant them, lock the gate and chuck the key in the ditch. I'm not so keen on that.
What about the emphasis now on more natives rather than...
Yeah, well, that's the long-term solution. Well, that's what New Zealand Carbon Farming...
Yeah.
That's what their website tells you, that they're going to convert them to natives.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, we'll have a little bit of the carbon credits as they go along.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I know the price has dropped from about sort of 55 or 6 down to 30-something.
Yeah.
Because the government is not particularly keen on these things.
Yeah.
So it's a very political
organisation. And it's tricky as well, even though what the, I've heard at least, once it's all in forestry and it's got to a certain stage, there's not going to be that much more sequestration, but you can't really cut them down necessarily.
Well, so you can take them down, that's just a...
Well, if you do, but then there's the issue of how do they assess what's happened with the carbon? Has it gone...
Yeah, well, it's political.
Yeah.
And I still remember trying to encourage my farmer friends... usually around a beer in the Cheltenham pub. And they political? No, thank you.
Yeah.
Just like that. None of them had a go.
Yeah. What about the erosion aspect? You said it didn't really help with the major flood.
Oh,
but more generally. With the flood.
On hill country, fantastic.
Okay.
Fantastic.
But that's...
I can show you some pictures.
Would that be if you're not going to mill the trees? Or
doesn't matter. But if you plant a hillside, it's probably going to hold. Probably. But even native forests, old native forests will let go in certain...
But if you do the clear felling, does it then suddenly it becomes very vulnerable again? Or if you plant straight away...
Well, that's what's happening up at Guzman, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got to find some way to stop that happening.
More selective logging or something?
I heard a long talk from a doctor something or other and... No, that country is just so erodible that trees are the best thing on it.
Yeah.
But how to stop the runoff and and that slash and gas finishing up on the beaches.
Yeah.
I don't know how the hell you do that. He didn't know either.
Okay. Yeah. What about the biodiversity as well, the animals and so, because they say radiata pine, it's almost can be virtually dead forest. Is that just because they're young, you don't have the really mature sort of 100-year-old trees with domestic
plants? This is what could happen with this carbon farming stuff.
Yeah.
There's going to be a proportion of those trees will finish up like that. Old man radiata, which will eventually fall over.
But in the meantime, that's a big part of New Zealand, the native forest, the trees growing on old trees.
But native can't beat radiata.
Yeah.
They just can't grow as fast. So,
yeah.
And these things, of course, are going to be coning, dropping seed in the ground.
Yeah.
Up come the new crop.
And that's all you get rather than the...
I think it'll be a long time before they turn into native. Very long time.
Yeah. Mm. So you're not getting... I know with gorse, they can regenerate to native bush fairly fast because they grow through the gorse. But
yes.
With radiata pine, do you get much under... If it's not too dense, you get... Undergrowth and new stuff.
Well, radiata will beat gorse.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm talking about other natives coming up through. Does it poison the soils and the pine? Does it?
No, not really.
Doesn't it become very acid?
But it depends what you want to grow. And once you put it into a forest, it's that slash of gas becomes its next fertilizer crop.
Yeah,
as it rots down. And
I'd heard though that if it's for commercial sort of logging, you've got maybe two or three plantings, and after that you've taken a lot of the
rotations,
the stuff out of the soil.
Rotations here are what, about 25, 26, 27 years.
Yeah. So, but after so many, then the soil's not that good. And you can keep going.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Now, I'll throw in something right from left field. This what's it, a German forester has written a book about the forest and how it takes something like 500 years to a forest to mature, and the older trees communicate with the younger trees and all that. So is that something that here it's all young forest that you're planting and so on, or is there some concept of, you know, letting forests mature and that sort of connection? Is that something?
Not here, I don't think.
Nothing anyone's talked about?
No.
It's all just a whole load of delinquent teenagers that...
I haven't heard those conversations around one of my farm forestry field days.
Okay.
At all, Stuart, no.
Okay.
Lots of I've talk about how to grow them better.
Yeah.
How to improve the production of them.
Ducks Unlimited,
which is an organisation started in the States in Canada. And we have chapters. Well, our chapters were sort of north and south.
Yeah.
They've diminished. In fact, the organisations closed down in last November. But but we were helping farmers put in wetlands with money.
This is actually allowing wetlands to come back where they've been before.
Yes, that's the one.
Yep. Okay.
And I certainly used a bit of their money. I used a bit of fish and game money, and I put in two lovely wetlands on the property.
Okay. Yeah. And those are very obscene.
I didn't shoot many ducks off them, but they were just really nice areas.
We're even finding some of the lifestyle block areas around Palmerston North where they've got small wetlands, which are very nice places to walk.
Just over here. Yeah. Just through those trees.
Just near you.
Yep. Nice one.
Yeah. Because you get all the bird life and everything else coming
that's
in.
That's right.
Very nice.
And that's one of those is one we took.
Why is he closed down?
Prince Charles visited us once, so we took him to a wetland.
Not mentioned Prince Charles. You hosted Prince Charles.
Only one day.
No matter, that's your claim to fame.
Nah.
Yeah, famous celebrity. So.
Yeah, the security around him was incredible.
But was he then fairly relaxed and chatty with you?
He was fine. He was a good fella. Yeah, enjoyed it.
Nice guy.
Nice guy. Yep.
Did you go on the back of your motorbike? Did you take him out of the
phone? No. We drove around a very smart Toyota.
Oh, sorry. Toyota.
Yeah. But, yes, Charlie Boy came to.
Yeah.
So, love, he...
Well, because of your farm forestry, was it? Or
No. It was purely our position on the... in the sort of the run of things. He did that. He's done that for years on his trips. He always goes to a farm.
Oh, okay.
And we were sort of... equidistant to Ohakia, which is where he was flying out. So, that was very interesting. As I say, the security was unreal.
Yeah.
We took him to a wetland, and one of these policemen that was looking over things said, I think we better put a diver in that dam. Just check.
Yeah.
What the hell I'd have seen, I don't know. It was
you got to think about Louis Mountbatten, don't you?
He got assassinated,
Yeah.
Oh no, it was amazing.
Be careful.
And then he turned to me and said, "How many people know about it?" I said, "Well, you and me and him. That's about it."
They didn't. So it was only afterwards that it was.
No, that didn't bother. But he didn't get blown up. So
no, all fine.
It's a bit different when you're going to be standing beside him.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.